of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign.
Friends, welcome. Welcome to the sanctuary here at St. Stephen's United Church. We are absolutely delighted that you can join us today for online worship. Whatever the reason you cannot join us in person, we are so thrilled that you can be with us in this way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? I lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We look not to the mountains or valleys, even heaven or earth, for God is found among us. Wherever two or three are gathered in Christ's name, God is here among us. Come, let us worship the God of creation, the God of people, the God of community. Let us follow Jesus, for Jesus is the way. Let us worship together in faith. If you usually light a candle for worship, or if you want to start doing that today, let's join together as I light the Christ candle here, remembering that Jesus is our salvation and the light of the world, who came to show us the way back to God. Let's pray together. God of heaven and earth, in your name we humble ourselves before you today, seeking your hand of grace upon us. Let us be fully present with you in our worship today. Let us recall your faithfulness to us in times past and today, and that you have never forsaken us. We trust in you and proclaim your sovereignty again in our hearts and our lives. For your name's sake, Jesus, we pray. Amen. By his nature, God is forgiving. He is merciful. He forgives our sins even before we ask. And yet we still come to him, seeking his grace and mercy upon us. Would you pray with me the prayer of confession? Patient God, we confess with dismay how quickly we lose heart and confidence in you, and cease our prayers when results are neither obvious nor immediate. Forgive our impatience, O God, and reassure us with the presence of your Spirit that you are indeed with us and for us, and acting on our behalf in the ways that will finally prove most helpful and healing to us. Your will, in your own way, be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Friends, the wonderful news is that the same God who delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt has delivered us from our slavery to sin. God has made a way for us to find freedom through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. The same God who gave Israel a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide them is the God who has given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So with the leading of that Spirit, let us go forth to live in freedom and in joy and in the reconciliation and peace we know because of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from Luke 18, verses 1. The parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Well, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth?" May God bless our understanding this reading from Scripture.
This fall, we have largely been in Luke's gospel, apart from last week when we took a break and we looked at that passage from John as we thought about what we have to be truly thankful for every day, not just on Thanksgiving Day, this life that we are finding in Christ. Today, we are back into this latest in a string of parables that Luke describes Jesus telling as he was getting his disciples ready for life after his crucifixion. Now, on the surface, the message of today's parable about the unjust judge and a desperate, perseverant widow, it seems pretty straightforward. Luke introduces this whole thing with his own interpretation, a narrator's interpretation, saying that Jesus told his disciples about a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. And Jesus himself explained this by asking two purely rhetorical questions and then driving his point home with the answer to those questions. He said, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." According to Luke, this story teaches us that we need to persist in prayer. But Jesus seems to focus more closely on the issue of justice. And he assures us that while the widow needed to hound the judge to get the justice she sought, we can be assured that God will not hesitate to grant us, his chosen ones, the justice we long for. Now, those two lessons, persistence in prayer and seeking justice and the promise of justice, they're not quite the same, are they? But they can be related. And we'll see in a little bit how they are. But related or not, they seem both fairly straightforward and fairly easy to understand. Now, over the past few weeks, we have been watching for the hooks that Jesus so often hid in his parables. So today you might be wondering where the hook is in this story. At first read, it can look like maybe there isn't one. And wouldn't that be a nice break? No stretching for us this week, because that's what hooks do. They stretch us. Just a couple of simple lessons, easy to hear, easy to apply, and then we all get to go home. Well, my friends, I'm afraid we need to remember what Jesus was doing through all of these lessons that he was giving. He was preparing his disciples for the time when he would no longer physically be with them, a time when they were going to need to take some leadership in the work of his mission in this world, a time that was actually fast approaching. Here in chapter 18, we're just one chapter away from Jesus' final arrival in Jerusalem. This travel narrative that we've been following throughout this fall is nearly at its end. And that should tell us that it is highly unlikely that Jesus' teaching was going to get less challenging at this point. If anything, things were probably likely to get much more intense and, dare I say, more pointed. Well, there is a hook in this parable, and it is tucked into that final statement that Jesus made. He has assured them that God will grant justice and grant it quickly. And then he concludes the whole episode with what feels at first a little bit like a lament. Jesus seemed to be asking himself and his disciples this searching question. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, I am quite tempted to call this a time release hook, because It's one whose point may not have been felt right away, but I suspect became very obvious later. At the time Jesus first told this parable, the disciples themselves might have wondered about that curious question he puts out there. Here, Jesus seemed to be both urging them to keep praying and promising that the kingdom God was bringing through Christ was going to be a place of justice for all. So I suspect that on that day, Peter and the rest probably thought, right, got it, Jesus, all good. So why the long face? Why the searching question? Well, before very long, the answer to that would have gotten very clear for them. The point of this hook in this parable would have been felt by those disciples not very many days later as they watched Jesus die on the cross. An innocent man, determined only to bring good to this world, was cruelly executed. A pawn crushed between their Roman oppressors and a religious establishment whose power was threatened by Jesus' presence. I guarantee you, in those hours, his disciples would have been wondering where the justice was that Jesus had promised. I wonder if any of them remembered Jesus' strange question as they sat hiding in fear in those couple of dark days after his death. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? At that point, it appeared that Jesus' mission had been defeated, not just by the Romans and the religious leaders, but by the oldest of enemies, death itself. The disciples' faith that had been so strong just days before, in that dark time, I suspect it disappeared. And suddenly the sting of the hook in that strange question would have been keenly felt. Well, as we now know, things were not as they at first seemed. All hope that justice would come to this world, that all things would be made right, it was not lost when Jesus died. Quite the opposite. While the disciples couldn't see it at the time, Jesus knew that his crucifixion would actually be the turning point in that age-old battle between life and death. And on the third day, when he rose, the battle was decided and everything changed. God's plan began to come to light. Because when Jesus rose from his tomb and then started coming to his disciples one by one, each of them was able to see for themselves that death hadn't won that battle. Life truly was stronger than death, and life had won. Remember those great words of Paul from 1 Corinthians, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" This is one of those passages that reads wonderfully in Eugene Peterson's The Message translation. "Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ." When Jesus rose from the tomb, this parable's promise that God would grant justice quickly had come true. The start of the justice that will eventually come for all life on earth came, and it did come quickly, just 3 days after it seemed that all hope was lost. Now, Jesus' disciples could not possibly have understood the full ramifications of what had happened. And if we're going to be honest, we're still trying to figure that out 2,000 years later. So we know they didn't get it. But even in those early days, without any clear understanding of all that God was doing through Jesus' death and resurrection, those first disciples were still very much transformed by the experience. At that point, they didn't need knowledge or understanding. What they needed was faith. So when he came to them alive once again, that's exactly what they got. Their faith was reignited so strongly that they all gave the rest of their lives to sharing the stories of Jesus among them and to loving as he had taught them. Now, as we all know, it can still be hard to hold on to the promises of God, especially to this promise that God's justice truly began when Jesus died and rose, to this promise that the powers of death were defeated and that life was assured. There is so much in this world that still seems so broken and hurting and dying. There is so much that is not right, not fair or just. At times, the pain that still exists in this world can get on top of any of us. And when it does, sometimes we begin to doubt or to forget that God's justice has begun to come and one day will come completely. So when Jesus left us with this parable, with this little hook hidden within it, he did so that we would feel it when we hear him ask those words again, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith in me?" There's the hook. Jesus isn't trying to make us feel ashamed. He's reminding us that staying strong doesn't just happen. It takes intentionality and it takes effort. We want to be able to answer, "Yes, Jesus, yes, you will find faith in us." But how can we do that when it feels like it's taking so long for God to bring his justice completely? Well, I think this is where that little bit that Luke offered at the beginning as he introduced this parable, I think that's where this comes in. Remember, Luke wrote this gospel years after Jesus had lived. At first, he thought he was writing just for the early church, people who were oppressed and often suffering for their decision to follow in the way of Christ, people who were experiencing huge injustice. And Luke was inspired by the Holy Spirit to include those words of introduction, telling us that Jesus told this parable to show his followers that we should pray always and not give up. Friends, when our faith is lagging and we are struggling with doubt, or when we begin to forget the magnitude of what God has done and is doing through Christ, Luke is absolutely right. We need to pray. Prayer is absolutely essential if we're going to keep going. The strange, counterintuitive thing that we often forget is that prayer is not just an act of faith, which it is, but it is also a source of faith. It is the way that we have been given to connect to God. And while doing that is always important, connecting with God is absolutely essential in the times when we're feeling like our faith is weak. Because as we connect with God in prayer, our lagging faith gets strengthened. Remember when Jesus came to his disciples after his death, they were at their lowest point. But as soon as he came to each one, each in their own way, their faith was restored and profoundly deepened. When we seek Jesus in prayer, each in our own way, we open ourselves up to how he might be able to come to us and do that same thing, restore and deepen our faith. So today through these words of St. Luke, we hear the Holy Spirit urging us to do this simple thing that has sustained disciples of Jesus for 2,000 years. As we all wait for God's justice to come in fullness, we must pray always so that we don't lose faith and so that we do not lose heart. Amen.
Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. We do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Forsake me, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield me. Thou wilt find a solace there in his arms. Oh, in his arms he'll take and shield me. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Good morning. Before I begin today's prayers, I'd like to thank everyone at St. Stephen's who has so warmly welcomed my wife Julie and myself into this caring congregation. We are both extremely grateful to have found such a loving spiritual home, and we both thank you. Today's prayers are responsive. The bidding is God of love, and the response is hear our prayer. It is with grateful hearts that we come to this time of specific prayer. We leave behind the past week with all it held for us, and we open ourselves to embracing the new week with all of the unknowns and what will be revealed. we continue this journey of life with courage to keep moving through the valleys and up the mountains. God of love, hear our prayer. We give thanks for this community and for each person who is a part of the circle of St. Stephen's. Give courage and strength to Diane as she leads us. We have found each other in this community of love and caring. May a blessing rest upon each person involved in our beautiful church. God of love, hear our prayer. We long for the nations to be wisely governed with just laws and a sense of vision which reflects the best of human nature. We long for peace and mutual respect in each community throughout the world. God of love, hear our prayer. We ask for those who feel neglected or rejected by society to know God's love and acceptance of them. We long for all those in pain or distress to be comforted and relieved. Loving God, search all the corners of the earth and into each home and heart, that everyone who is lost may be found, that the outcast may be welcomed, and that the proud may be humbled. God of love, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are sick, especially those whose illness is long-term and demands much patience to bear. We remember before you those who are lonely and depressed, and pray that we may be good listeners when friends and neighbors need us. Give us the right words and help us to know what simple acts of kindness may help someone else. Comfort with your presence those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and give them courage and hope. God of love, hear our prayer. We remember before you those who have died and those whose anniversaries fall at this time. Give strength to those who are left to grieve and help us to share in each other's sorrow. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. Let us now bring to mind those who have passed and have a special place in our hearts. God of love, hear our prayer. Finally, I share the words of L.R. Knost. Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in the darkness for the light that is you. Now let us pray in the words that the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Again, this week, we thank you for your giving to the work of God through the mission of St. Stephen's Church. If you tuned in last week, or you were here at our live services last week, you would have heard some news through our chairman of the board's report that we're facing a deficit at this point this year. And so if there is anyone who has been thinking about giving to the work of St. Stephen's, we would encourage you to do that, and we would deeply appreciate your support and you joining us in that way, in joining in God's kingdom work in the world, because that is what our giving is ultimately about. It's not about the church. It's about God's mission in the world. Will you join me in praying to dedicate the gifts that have been given to just that this week? Gracious God, people we will never meet, living in places we will never visit, have great needs. Take these gifts of ours, we pray, and through your church, may some of those needs be met, even as we strive to do the same here at home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. before we go this week. Just a reminder for any of you who might be local in the Parksville-Qualicum area at the beginning of November, that we will be gathering here on November 5th for our fall supper, the first one we've been able to gather for since 2019. And we are very excited about that. So if you are here, we'd love to have you amongst us for that evening. And if you'd like to do that, we're asking everyone to book their seats online. In the emailed announcements that go out every Thursday, there will be a section on the Fall Supper and a link within that section that you can just click on to book your seat. Or if you'd rather, you can also call the church office anytime Monday to Thursday, 9 to noon. And our people in the office will help you to get a seat booked. Be great to see you there. Friends, as you go, may you continually seek God in prayer. May you approach Him with a shameless boldness. And may your prayers produce in you deep joy, a gentle, compelling grace, and a heart steeped in faith, in hope, and in peace. Amen.
watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.